Radio Prague News.
Canada is postponing the cancellation of visa requirements for Czechs while it monitors racial tensions in northern Bohemia. Former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has left the Social Democratic Party. And the Ministry of Education has presented its proposal for college-level reforms to the government. Canada will postpone the cancellation of visa requirements for Czechs, possibly due to racial tensions in northern Bohemia. Canada initiated visa requirements for Czechs in 2009 due to a large influx of Roma seeking asylum there on grounds of racial discrimination in the Czech Republic. A new asylum system was supposed to be launched in late 2011 and would allow Czechs to travel to the country without a visa. However, according to the news website Aktualne.cz, that plan has been delayed until next summer. The Canadian embassy in Prague told the website that it is monitoring the situation in northern Bohemia, where racial tension has caused violence and demonstrations in recent months. Former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has left the Social Democratic Party, which he headed from 2006 to 2010. After more than a year of speculation as to his political intentions after coming up short in last year's parliamentary elections, Mr. Paroubek on Friday told the press that his patience with the party's platform had run out and that he wants to run a party truer to his conception of social democracy. He also said that he would have stayed with the party had it offered him an appropriate position. Mr. Paroubek is in negotiations to lead a revamped Czech National Socialist Party. However, its present chairman is opposed to that prospect. Social Democrat MP Jiří Šlégr also left the party on Friday. Both parliamentarians say they intend to remain in the opposition. The Ministry of Education has presented a proposal for college-level reforms to the government. The plan calls for financing based on quality, the merging of smaller schools, and the introduction of tuition. College institutions would also have more authority over their internal affairs, according to the plan, with economic decisions to be made by a council of regional politicians and businessmen. The schools would also have to sign 3 to 5 year agreements with the ministry in which they would stipulate the results they would attain in that time and establish the amount of funding they would receive. The introduction of tuition remains a controversial idea, with many educators opposing it out of concern for students becoming indebted. Russian residents in the West Bohemian town of Karlovy Vary are petitioning for the erection of a life-sized statue of Peter the Great on the occasion of the 300th anniversary of one of his visits to the spa center. A Russian company has offered to fund the monument for 2.5 million crowns. The municipal government has so far rejected the idea, however, saying they would not be opposed to a statue in the spa forests, where the 17th century Tsar strolled during his stay there. A deputy mayor told the residents that they could build the statue in the city center, provided a statue of Czechoslovak President T.G. Masaryk was erected on Red Square in Moscow first. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be cool and wet, with daytime highs of around 11 degrees Celsius, and high wind warnings are in effect over the night on Friday. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. Coming up in today's program, the government's pilot bond emission has proved a huge success, but critics say it will create enormous losses for the state. We bring you a roundup of this week's business news, and in the arts today, we talk to Czech author and screenwriter Jaroslav Rudiš, whose animated film Alois Nebel has just been released in the Czech Republic. All that and more coming up, so please don't go away. The government's offer of state bonds enabling citizens to invest in the national debt has proved hugely successful. After registering orders for more than 16.5 billion crowns, way over the set 10 billion crown target, the finance ministry terminated all registrations on Friday, 3 weeks ahead of the scheduled date. Although public interest surpassed all expectations, critics say it was a costly and unnecessary transaction. Daniela Lazarová has the story. The pilot emission includes three bond types: 1 year discount savings state bonds, 5 year savings coupon state bonds, and 5 year reinvestment savings bonds. All three bond types have a nominal value of just 1 crown, with the minimal investment being 1,000 crowns. The 1 year savings bonds have a fixed 2% interest rate. Sold in batches of 1,000, the client pays 980 crowns and will receive 1,000 upon maturity. Both 5 year bonds have an incremental rate of interest rising each year the bonds are held, from 0.85% in the first year to 6% in the fifth year. Moreover, due to the nominal price of 1 crown, tax will be negligible. In addition to being a safe investment, they are without doubt more profitable than any other comparable investment on the market. The emission was offered to individuals of any nationality and Czech and foreign non-profit organizations. The interest it generated surpassed all expectations. After a spate of orders from bigger investors, small savers jumped on the bandwagon as well, registering orders to the tune of 16.5 billion crowns. Only 2% of orders were from NGOs. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek says the government's aim was to promote a trend of fiscal responsibility and encourage a significant portion of Czech households to put part of their life savings in state bonds.
One of our main aims was to give small savers, people who count every crown and can ill afford to part with it, the chance to safely invest some money in the country's debt and make a healthy profit.
While Mr. Kalousek can congratulate himself on proving the skeptics wrong, financiers say he paid too high a price. David Marek from Patria Finance says that in order to secure interest in its first emission, the government overbid, and every additional order made will cost taxpayers more money in the long run.
It's attractive for people, but it's a big mistake for government, because if we take into account that the government can issue, for example, 10 billion crowns, the net loss of such a transaction would be more than 100 billion crowns compared to using usual bonds issuance. Clearly, the higher demand, the higher the loss of the government. So for next tranche, I would expect that the government should change conditions of bonds offered to retail segments, so not to make such a losses in the future.
While some economists see some benefits of the pricey bond emission in revenue diversification, former finance minister and the Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist Pavel Medlik says the benefits to the country's public finances are questionable.
I'm not sure whether it really helps the public finances now, because the Czech bond market is very liquid. All regular auctions on the primary market of government bonds are oversubscribed, something like twice or more. The government also plans to come with another tranche of euro bonds before Christmas, and the earlier tranches were sold very well, so with much better pricing. So definitely the rationale on the side of the government is questionable even now. From economic point of view, it doesn't make sense.
Economist Pavel Metlík ending that report, and Daniela Lazarová stays with me in the studio for this week's business news. The finance minister has stopped taking orders for Czech government bonds designed for individual investors on Friday, bringing forward the deadline from November 1st after the pilot bond issue worth 10 billion crowns was sold out earlier this week. Next year, the ministry plans to issue bonds worth 40 billion crowns, some 20% of the government's overall borrowing need for 2012. The pilot bonds come in three types, with a maturity of 1 and 5 years. Interest on the five-year bonds will be paid out annually, and the bonds will be redeemable 4 times a year without penalties.
Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek is promoting the Czech government bonds as one of the safest and most conservative methods of saving, as well as a responsible investment tool that will help the health of the country's finances.
The number of Czechs who have been unemployed for more than a year decreased in the second quarter of 2011, according to the Czech Statistical Office. In the second quarter, the total number of long-term jobless people was just under 140,000, the lowest since the first quarter of 2010. According to statistics, women tend to be more affected by long-term unemployment, as well as people with only primary education or secondary education without a high school leaving exam certificate. The highest degree of long-term unemployment was reported in the Moravian Silesian, Ústí nad Labem and South Moravian regions. The capital Prague and the Pardubice region were least affected. Czech long-term unemployment reached its peak in the third quarter of 2010, with 160,000 people reported jobless for more than 12 months.
The Czech state budget deficit reached 105.1 billion crowns in September, which is 78% of the projected figure for 2011 and the highest deficit for the January to September period in the last 10 years, the idnes.cz news site reported. In the first 9 months of the year, state budget revenue totaled 741.9 billion crowns, 4.1 billion crowns less than a year ago. Expenditure was 847 billion crowns compared with 845.5 billion last year. The government plans to narrow the overall fiscal gap to 3.5% of GDP in 2012 from a planned 4.2% this year.
The Czech government is proposing to cut almost 7,000 jobs, or 1.8% of state employees, while raising salaries for other workers it will retain next year, the 2012 budget draft suggests. The number of people working in public administration would be reduced to some 425,000, according to the Finance Ministry website. The cabinet of Prime Minister Petr Nečas has passed health care and pension reform legislation and has sought to streamline budget-making processes to reduce the budget deficit. The allocation of total state salaries in 2012 will increase by 845 million crowns, or $45 million, to 128.5 billion crowns, the draft suggests. According to the ministry, the average wage in the public sector will rise by 2.6%, reaching 23,833 crowns next year.
Almost a year after taxation was imposed on solar energy in the Czech Republic and a number of advantages for solar power plants were withdrawn, some 100 domestic and foreign investors are demanding financial compensation from the government, the Aktualnie.cz news site reported earlier this week. If the companies succeed, the state budget might lose billions of crowns, the site writes. The finance ministry rules out such a possibility but admits the situation can result in arbitrations. Out of the 100 applicants for compensation, 20 foreign investors have filed claims on the basis of international agreements on investment support and protection.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now it's time for this week's arts. Jan Wellinger talks to award-winning Czech author and railway fan Jaroslav Rudiš.
In this week's arts, I speak to Jaroslav Rudiš, the author of an influential Czech graphic novel, trilogy actually, that delves into the fog of history and troubled Central European past. It's the story of Alois Nebel, a slightly mad railwayman working in a remote border region, and it's been made into a new film now that premiered last week in the Czech Republic after being featured in festivals in Venice and Toronto. My first question for Jaroslav, who is currently touring the country, was how long Alois Nebel had now been a part of his life.
Very interesting question, because I think it's a very long time. I think we started with the illustrator Jaromir 99 talking about Alois Nebel in the fall of 2002. So it's 9 years now.
And where did you get the initial idea to come up with this character? He is a railway man who works at a small station in the Jeseníky area in northeastern Moravia, a part that is the former Sudetenland. How did the idea for him come about?
At the very beginning was one part of my personal family and history, because my grandfather, his name was Alois Rudish, used to work as a railway man on the tracks in this Sudetenland, borderlands between Czech Republic and Germany before the Second World War and after that. And he was my inspiration at the time. And I wanted to tell a story about one man working on the railway who is observing trains going to his station with this baggage of the whole last century. And he will be mentally ill after that because he is not able to forget very traumatic parts of history of Middle Europe again. And Jaromir simply liked this idea, and he said, Jara, let's do it as a graphic novel. So that's what we did.
Now, as you mentioned there, he is a character who is sort of burdened by this heavy Central European history. On the one hand, he's a sort of a simple man who has an ordinary job. He's keeping track of trains. On the other, he has these visions, and some of the trains that come through are trains that probably aren't even really there. So is it fair to say that he is somebody who is haunted by history?
Yes, maybe he's not able to forget what was happening here. You know, we are living in Middle Europe. Now we are enjoying this kind of very nice, quiet, short minute that nothing very important is happening. But you never know here if you look back into the history. And Alois Nebel, so in the graphic novel, he is really haunted by the history, maybe haunted also by this part of the history we cannot be proud of, especially after the Second World War, when the Germans have to leave. As kind of revenge, they have to leave my country, Czechoslovakia, and there were like almost 3 million Germans living here, and they had to go. And it's also a story about this part of my country, because it's something totally different to Prague or to Bohemia if you go to this borderlands. Because still you can feel if you go there that there is something which we are missing, part of the past, because these Germans were living here for ages. You are always stumbling over the past of this Czech-German past of my country. And this is what makes this area really interesting.
I imagine from what you're saying that the architecture, the turn-of-the-century architecture or the industrial heritage that is in parts of the Sudetenland, abandoned factories and buildings and old villas and so on, must also play a role in what you're describing, kind of these remnants of the past.
No, definitely. This is also a little bit different to the Bohemia, but what we have in common are these tracks, you know, the railway, you know, and that's very, very Middle European, and all these old train stations and tracks were built up in the time of the monarchy before the First World War, and they are still in use. So and also the railway was kind of witness of all these traumatic moments of our past, you know? And this is still there.
Now it strikes me, when the first book of your 3-part graphic novel came out and was a success, that the comics market or the graphic novels market here was still in relative beginnings. Has it changed since White Brook came out?
It has changed. For us, you know, it was a big challenge. We thought with Jaromír it will be a story for just a few friends of us. You know, we were sitting in this pub in Žižkov. We were hanging up with Soneho Oka, and we were sitting there and talking, and I was writing down the stories, and Jaromír was doing a storyboard, and we thought we will do it on our own. But then Joachim Butak from a publishing house, Labyrinth, came around, and he liked it, and he was a big supporter of our work. It was a big surprise for us, but this first volume, Billy Potok, White Brook, he sold more than 7,500 copies here in Czech Republic, and which was really for us a big surprise. Talking about this comic market, you know,
I think it has changed now. In every bookstore you can find, they have a comic section right now. I remember when White Blue was published, I went to one bookstore on Wenceslas Square, and they had one copy, but it was in a section literature about transport and transportation, literature about trains and tracks and cars. But it has changed now. You can see graphic novels everywhere.
Turning to Alois Nebel, the film, I know that animation was something that you'd thought about for some time. In the end, the rotoscoping technique was chosen. What is, say, essential or different about that technique from other types of animation?
When we were asked by Pavel Strnad from Negative if you would like to do it, transform Alois Nebel into the movie, we said yes, but we were sure at one point that we don't want to do it as a normal movie with actors. We wanted to do it as an animation or something like that, like animation. And this was the idea. Rotoscoping was the idea of Tomáš Lunák, of the director of Alois Nebel, who came with this idea.
Basically, this is a technique where the film is done first with live actors, and then they are basically traced over, which led to one interesting aspect. I was reading an interview with one of the actors, Karel Rodin, who talked about how the makeup, for example, during the shoot was much more specific, that lines on the face were emphasized so that they could easily be traced afterwards.
Yeah, actually, maybe it will be also interesting to screen somewhere this first version of the movie, because everybody was looking like from this mute German expressionistic movies made by Fritz Lang because of this makeup, and they look like monsters, you know, like dead monsters. It helped the animators do the work properly. The movies make also in black and white, but there is lots of place also for a gray color.
That's one thing about the books, is that the blacks kind of strike me as somewhat nostalgic, but they're also the long shadows of history, if you can put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
What were your feelings the first time you saw the whole story transformed into the film?
I saw it for the first time in Venice on the film festival where this summer there was a film premiere of Alois Nebel. And it's really hard to have distance from it because you know, it was like 9 years with Alois Nebel for me and Jaromir in 99. But there are also 5 years preparing this movie, you know? And these 5 years, it was really like hard work. We had like 20 drafts of the screenplay. Then there was a shooting, and then 2 years of this kind of rotoscoping animation. And I think I would like to see it like next year or in 1 year to have this kind of distance.
Now, that's one thing I should mention, is that one reason we're taping over the phone is because you're touring with the film currently.
Yeah, exactly. From cinema to cinema.
From cinema to cinema. Have you toured the areas where the actual story is set yet? The response there must be interesting.
And actually, it was for me more important and for us than the screening in Venice. You know, the Czech premiere was actually in Jeseník, so in this area where the story is based. And these two screenings there were something also for us, because there you don't need to answer any questions to the story, because everybody knows what you are talking about, what the movie is about. You know, they also understand this kind of fog, because fog is a big part of these mountains, and for us is this kind of fog also is hidden this history and Alois Nebel life. It was really impressive.
Okay, we're gonna have to wrap up, but I have to say it must have been a very exciting year for you. There was the 68th Venice International Film Festival, which you mentioned. There was also the screening in Toronto at the festival there. The film has also been nominated, or has been chosen, to vie for a nomination at the Academy Awards. I want to wish you the best of luck with it in the future, and we'll all have our fingers crossed, of course.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. We never thought that it could go so far. No, if I look back and see me and Jaromir sitting in this pub Uvistro Neho Oka and drinking one beer after another and talking about this story, about this character. He's not this kind of special hero, Alois Nema. He's like about 50, no life, actually. His one and only hobby or interest are the tracks, and he's haunting by this past. So it's not like a man you would like maybe sit with him in a pub and talk a little bit, or maybe one beer and then you pay and call, because he's also a little bit crazy. But maybe that's what makes him interesting. I don't know why is he so became so popular, but that's great, of course.
Author Jaroslav Rudiš was talking to Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger. And we are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language program, today written and presented by Christian Falvey.
That's the band Divoké Byl in their song Čmelák, or Bumblebee, singing our phrase, "Not me, I'm a musician." That's not the musician just stating the obvious, however. In Czech, the phrase "já nic, já muzikant" means more figuratively, "don't look at me, I had nothing to do with it, pretend I'm not here," so to speak. Have another listen to Divoké Byl and look out for the phrase "já nic, já muzikant." You say "já nic, já muzikant" to strongly deny your responsibility for something or another. For me, it brings to mind the image of detectives at a dinner party in a game of Clue looking for who poisoned Mr. White. It wasn't me. The butler did it. I'm just one of the musicians. Of course, according to another widespread adage, all Czechs are musicians, or at least you'll hear them saying often enough, "co Čech, to muzikant." And then, of course, when you give a lot to gain a little, you would say, "za málo peněz hodně muziky," a lot of music for just a pittance. The word musika, incidentally, is used infrequently in Czech. More commonly, music is hudba, the key word in the phrase hudba budoucnosti, which means a plan that will only come to fruition in the distant future. An internet search for the phrase "já nic, já muzikant" shows you how it's most often used, and you'll see the attitudes of hand-washing lawmakers described in this way. Considering the state of political things at present, we might expect a new phrase to pop up soon, something like "já nic, já politik."
Christian Falvey with Soundcheck wrapping up today's program on Radio Prague. Don't forget that this program is also available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post at Vinohradská 12-12099 Prague 2. For now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening and goodbye.